The Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Cheryl, please call the roll.
Chair Plasencia?
Here.
Vice Chair Mainey?
Here.
Representatives Casello?
Here.
Grieco?
Here.
Hawkins?
Here.
Magard?
Here.
Mariano, excused. McCurdy?
Here.
Nixon? Rizzo?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Present.
Schoaf?
Here.
Ranking Member Thompson? Tuck?
Here.
Zika? You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. Members, today we will be starting with a consent agenda for the appropriations projects bills, followed by a presentation on the governor's office on his budget recommendations. We're about to take up the consent agenda for appropriations project bills. We will take up the consent agenda and vote once on the agenda in its entirety. The public is welcome to testify on any of the bills listed in the consent agenda. Members, we will not take up question, debate, and vote on each of the bills individually. Instead, we will be in questions and debate only once. Remember, you may vote no on any particular bill by submitting a nay vote consent agenda form with the administrative assistant before the vote. Please keep in mind that passing these bills makes these projects eligible for funding, but does not guarantee that these projects will be funded or funded at the requested level. With that said, are there any questions? Excellent. We do have public testimony. First, we have Sarah Sims from Stetson University on HB 2069. Ms. Sims, she waves in support. We have Whitney Doyle from the Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology on HB 2613. Ms. Doyle, you're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to thank you for having this on the consent agenda. We're really excited. This is my first time as executive director bringing forth a funding increase for our organization, which is the Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology. We are a federal program that's within the state of Florida that provides assistive technology to Floridians who have disabilities, as well as employers, teachers, healthcare professionals, and anyone in the community that may impact someone with a disability. Essentially, we provide free assistive technology services to Floridians. Assistive tech can be any device that a Floridian with a disability would use to go to work, go to school, go outside and play, anything like that. The funding that we currently have, we do have federal funding that's increased year over year. We're up to about $816,000 in federal funding. We do also have state general revenue funding, which is what we're looking to get increased. We have been flat funded since 2009 at $444,415. So this request of $305,585 will bring us up to about $750,000. This will serve approximately 6,000 more Floridians than we've previously served. In 2020, we provided about 16,000 services. With this funding, we hope to get up to about 22,000 services. So thank you so much for your consideration of this funding request, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Ms. Doyle. Next, we have Stephen Wynn from the Gadsden County School District on HB 4495, waving in support. We have Thomas Hobbs from the Northwest Florida State College Foundation on HB 4555, also waving in support. We have Jane Johnson from the Florida Association of Centers for Independent Living on HB 4585, also waving in support. Derek McGee for the Florida Association of Centers for Independent Living on HB 4585, also waving in support. And that is it. Members, is there any debate? Before the vote on the consent agenda, are there any nay vote forms? Okay. And we will take a vote.
Chair Plasencia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mainey?
Yes.
Representatives Casello?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Magard.
Yes.
Mariano. McCurdy.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Rodriguez. Schoaf.
Yes.
Ranking Member Thompson.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Zika.
Yes.
14-0.
Show the consent agenda passes. All of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. Members, next we will have Shelby Cecil, the Education Policy Coordinator for the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget. Ms. Cecil will be sharing the Governor's recommended budget with us. Ms. Cecil, you are recognized.
Good morning, Chair and members and staff. Thank you guys very much for letting me come present the governor's higher education budget request. This morning, I'm going to be opening up with just a few statewide general slides, and then I will turn it over to Bethany McAllister from the Department of Education, and we'll be here in tandem to go through the rest of it and answer any questions. I would be remiss if I didn't thank everybody on my staff who was able to join today as we prepared all of this. Just an overview for what we do over in the Office of Policy and Budget. We do work with the Department of Education, which is early learning through 20, as well as the Board of Governors, which oversees the state university system. And this slide was shown yesterday in the full Appropriations Committee. And this shows the statewide Freedom First budget broken out by sector on the left. So you'll see that Health and Human Services comes in at the largest portion of our overall budget at 46%. With education coming in behind at almost 28%. Then the chart on the right shows the general revenue budget, and as you can see there, of the $37 billion, education takes up almost $18 billion of it, coming in at about 48%. And then just to break down our education budget a little bit better for you, you'll see that the total education budget is $27.7 billion. Our public schools are about 57%. And then our higher education, so our universities come in at 19%, the colleges at 5%, and then from there. For vocational rehabilitation and blind services, those are included in the light blue slide, piece for other education, the 6%. And again, this slide was shown yesterday in the full Appropriations Committee. Governor DeSantis included a pay package in his budget this year. Further details on this one we're happy to provide. This was done at a statewide level. So the numbers that you see up here on the screen are recommendations and averages of what could happen. It's the governor's intent that the pay package for state employees be done at the agency level, at the agency head's discretion. So they will receive the funding and however they decide to implement the minimum wage initiative from there. And within the governor's pay package for that, the Department of Education and Board of Governors collectively received about $5.2 million. Again, this is the funding will go to their respective chancellor and commissioner, who will then work with their internal staff to determine how best to meet the needs of their divisions, bureaus, as you have it. And then from here, I'm actually going to step over, and I'm going to let Bethany McAllister come up, and she's going to walk us through the more specifics of our budgets.
Good morning, Chairman, members. Thank you so much for having us here today. Since day one, you all know Governor DeSantis has praised the excellence of our Florida higher education system that is ranked number one in the nation. And within this budget, what we'll detail, you'll see those initiatives that will hopefully help us maintain that national ranking. And we really look forward to continuing a conversation with you through session about these items. To continue that momentum in the Freedom First budget, it provides a target of incentives and performance funds that expands opportunities and resources needed to help get that trajectory of maintaining the number one, as well as making us number one in workforce education by 2030. The budget includes $100 million for the Workforce Development Capitalization Incentive Grants, and this will be used to help with our Florida college system, as well as our district's workforce programs to help aid and expand those opportunities in workforce education. There will be an emphasis in this program for high school programs as well. The budget also reinforces investments in apprenticeships, as we have and you all have supported over the last several years. with an increase of $5 million for a total of $15 million for the Pathways to Career Opportunities Grants. You also probably will hear it mentioned as PCOG throughout session. As mentioned yesterday, the Florida has created more than 50 new apprenticeship programs in the last 3 years. And that's thanks to the support that all of you have helped shown and made sure that we've been able to invest. And you see that these investments hopefully will continue to expand those opportunities to get credentials earned in high wage and high demand areas in the state of Florida. As Florida's dedicated to focus on skilled trades that will help expand our manufacturing footprint, you also see in this budget $35 million to continue the funding for the Open Door Grant Program that was created in 1507 last year. $20 million of that would be for the Florida College System, and $15 million of that would be for the school district workforce programs. Finally, on this slide, the performance funding for our higher ed institutions is a total of $605.5 million. As you see on the slide, the breakdown of how that is for our K through 12 workforce programs, colleges, state colleges, and universities. Within that, I will note in the state college, $25 million. That breaks down to $10 million for the Florida Work Florida Student Success Initiative Fund that aligns with high demand jobs in each region in the state, as well as $15 million for the 2+2 Student Success Initiative Fund that helps maintain that trajectory of students going to colleges to our universities. Moving on to student financial aid, as we all know, this is very important to ensure all Floridians have the opportunity and the resources and the support from the state if they would like to maintain or continue their education. In Bright Futures, in the governor's budget, there's a total of $642 million, with $40 million going for those textbook stipends for each student to maintain $300 within their scholarship to get those different textbooks. Additionally, moving on, there is about $34 million for our Beneficio Scholarship Program that helps with our National Merit Scholars, as well as $12 million to cover the cost of full scholarships for children and spouses of deceased veterans. This impacts about 2,800 students across the state of Florida annually. And to end on our financial aid program, within the budget and the Freedom First, it also includes a $6 million total to incentivize our law enforcement recruitment and retention in the state, $5 million of which would create the Law Enforcement Academy scholarship programs. This would help cover those fees for the certifications, any of the additional costs that an individual might need to become a law enforcement in the state of Florida, as well as the $1 million for the out-of-state law enforcement equivalency reimbursement, which would help out-of-state law enforcement if they would like to move to the state of Florida, up to $1,000 in expenses that they might need to get certified in the state, as well as covering their certification expenses. Both of these programs would be a first-come, first-served basis for the $6 million, and we really look forward to continuing a conversation about this to ensuring that we have full opportunities to grow our law enforcement in the state of Florida. With that, it was kind of, I think, quick and easy of the highlights of things that cover within the budget and your purview. We are super excited to continue the conversation through the session. Shelby and I are here to answer any questions that you may have, and we really thank you for allowing us to cover some highlights of the Freedom First budget today.
Thank you, and congratulations on your recent marriage. And Ms. Swanson, I apologize, is it now Ms. McAllister?
It is now Ms. McAllister. I'm keeping Swanson, so whatever is easiest for you guys to remember me as.
Thank you, Ms. Swanson. I'm Ms. McAllister, and thank you, Ms. Cecil. Members, are there any questions or comments? Representative Grieco, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just some questions. Well, I have a question about the capital budget for the university system, and this is prompted by the fact that one of my constituents down in South Florida died a week ago on the University of Florida campus because apparently there is a long-standing history of pedestrian safety issues on and around the University of Florida campus. And I was curious as to whether or not that's something that's considered in the capital budget, and if it's not, if it's something that can be looked at.
I'm not totally, I think, ready to discuss university budget in total purview. I know that first and foremost, safety and security of our students is number one priority for both the governor's office and our office. So we're definitely dedicated to continuing conversation with you about that and how we can support our institutions to ensure that they have the resources needed to ensure all students on their campuses are safe. Sorry to hear about that.
Ms. Nixon, Representative Nixon, you're recognized for a question.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. I just had a question. Is there going to be an emphasis on early childhood education as far as making sure that we're recruiting for that? I know you said you were talking about law enforcement, but just being a mom of a 16-month-old, I know that there's a mass exodus in the early childhood education field, and we need to, like, stop that hemorrhaging.
Chairman, thank you. We didn't cover it in this budget, but later today, if you want to tune into K-12 appropriations on the House, there is $10 million for the TEACH program that does allow for scholarships of individuals that would like to work in that field, and annually that helps about 5,000 different individuals go into that profession. Very important. I agree.
Rep. Nixon, do you have a follow-up? Representative McCurdy, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation, ladies. My question is there any provisions for teacher training from the collegiate level to kind of have, I know there's a program in my district, that's why I'm asking this question specifically. There's a private, non-public school in my district, and they have interns from universities that come in and actually get these hours and train and to be certified teachers. So is there dollars available, whether it's federal COVID dollars or some state dollars that'll be dedicated to assist with some teacher training because of the teacher shortage that we have? Right?
Chairman, thank you. Within the overall budget in education and what we're looking at both on state and federal dollars, yes, that is something that we continue to look at and have programs, and there are scholarships and funding to ensure we're creating a pipeline from other, whether that be high school or out in the workforce, bringing them into training to become educators. So I can definitely follow up with you on a whole long purview and get you with Dr. Paul Burns, who's our expert, and I think you'll be very, very happy to hear about it, and we'd love to connect any of your constituents with those programs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Members, any other questions? Ms. McAllister, I do have a couple of questions. So in your budget, you have a $40 million increase for Bright Futures. We're trying to figure out where that $40 million is in the budget. We see it's not in Proviso. How are you justifying that increase, and is it part of the $99.1 billion proposed budget that the governor has put forward?
It is a part of the overall budget, $99 billion, and what is in the back of the bill. The $40 million is a part of, it's a priority for the governor to make sure that we're supporting our educators and as well as our students that are going back to school and giving them those stipends to help with those textbooks. It is something I know of conversation the last couple of years of do we invest in it or not. It is a priority that we think it is worth investing for those students, and would love to continue a conversation with you on exactly what you might think is best to reach that goal.
Be more specific. So you said it's in the back of the bill. Is the $40 million, does it count towards our 2022-2023 budget, the overall cost of it? So your higher education cost that you've presented to us, is that $40 million? Is that something is it reflected in next year's budget or is it reflected in this year's budget?
It will be reflected in next year's budget for the 22-23 year.
Thank you. I do have a couple more questions. So we see that there aren't any increases for colleges or tech centers beyond restoring non-recurring. Was there a reason for that?
If you did see what's up right here on the slide in front of you, the Workforce Development Capitalization Incentive Grant would be an increase of $100 million, both for our colleges and our workforce centers that the districts run, to help ensure that we're getting additional resources to the programs. As we do know, getting our individuals back in the workforce and trained up is a big priority of not only our state, but I think a lot of people that we're all focusing on, and especially to reach that goal that the governor and I know your chamber has really rallied behind, being number one in workforce by 2030.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I do have one last question. So we've worked diligently in the last couple of years on this, and we've had other public universities reach out to us about perceived inequities in funding for our state university system. Are there any recommendations from the department on creating a parity in the system for state university system funding?
I think from a department purview, I'll let Shelby answer that because we're just over early learning to colleges. But if you want to answer for the Board of Governors.
Mr. Chair, may I?
You're recognized.
Thank you. This budget does not currently address any inequities or disparities in that. Obviously, we would very much welcome having a conversation to address both of our higher education systems with their funding models.
Thank you, Ms. Cecil.
Yes, sir.
Members, are there any other questions? Thank you so much. Oh, I'm sorry. Ranking Member Thompson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question regarding the law enforcement recruitment and retention program. And you're establishing a program to underwrite tuition, et cetera. Is there a requirement that individuals who participate in this program remain in law enforcement for a specific period of time so that we don't have people who get bonuses, who get tuition, and then leave law enforcement?
Mr. Chair, thank you. So it's not reflected on this slide as well, but there is a $5,000 signing bonus as well that you're referencing that's housed in a different unit. We can get more information on the bonus to you just to kind of understand the package. But for these, there aren't any repercussions, I guess you would say, if you or requirements to stay in the program or as a law enforcement officer afterwards. It's more of a recruitment tool more than anything, to cover the cost of either their equivalency exam, saying they're coming in from out of state, or to cover their cost and provide a stipend to cover their tuition fees and any other eligible expenses.
Thank you. Can you get information to me regarding what would happen if a person, in fact, comes in from out of state or wherever, they get the bonus, they get the tuition, and then they leave or they never actually work in law enforcement, so that we don't have a revolving door of people who get all of these benefits and then we don't have an increase in law enforcement?
Yes, we definitely work on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Members, any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Cesar. Thank you, Ms. McAllister. As always, you did a phenomenal job, and we thank you and appreciate the work that's done by the department. Members, before we conclude this meeting, I want to take a point of personal privilege to thank Representative Rizzo. Representative Rizzo invited me to come and tour Miami-Dade College and the various campuses in Dade County, and it was really just an incredible visit to be there, to be in Miami, to visit those campuses, see the great work that they're doing, the great work that's being done in his hometown of Hialeah, a phenomenal campus. Great students, support for students was something that both he and I learned a little bit about and were moved and touched by how caring the faculty and staff and the president on that campus are for their students. And of course, what they produce on all of their campuses. So as chair of this committee and that I put it out to everyone to invite me to visit their campuses, I thank you for inviting me and for the hospitality that you and your city showed me. So thank you, Representative Rizzo. Members, this concludes our committee agenda. Is there any further business before the committee? Seeing none, Ranking Member Thompson moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.